Okay. What do we got this time?
Let me release these doves and level the shot. Okay, let's pick this one up, take a look here. The parchment on his foot. God damn it, it's Kid Cool. Marge, you're breaking my heart. This one was recommended by Eric Hyde, one of our listeners. My name's Cole Ross.
This is Gary Butterfield.
And why are you doing this to us?
And why are you doing this to us? This is Abject Suffering, the podcast that comes with the Watch Out for Fireballs app, where you, the listeners, get to suggest terrible games to inflict upon us. We dedicate ourselves to them for one half of an hour and talk about them for one half of an hour. Altogether being an hour of both our lives that we can't get back. And this time it's Kid Cool. I know Eric Hyde. He is a recent father, a piece of shit for suggesting this. And
you know, I was about to say something mean.
Oh,
he's a recent father. I hope his kid turns out not to be too cool. Maybe kind of a nerd. You know,
yeah,
I'm a nerd.
You see, it's actually, so say what you will about Eric and his game suggesting abilities. His kid is fucking adorable.
Is he? Okay,
he's got,
cool.
He's got an unreasonable, I don't think all babies are cute either, but no. His baby is unreasonably fucking cute.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Congratulations, Blaine. Congratulations, Eric. I'm confusing
Blaine,
our fans.
We're not done with you.
We're not done with you. No, we were talking about you over the break. We'll get to you. No,
yeah, we'll get to you. Wizardry?
What's wrong with you? Come on. No, Eric. Congratulations, Eric. I'm happy you got a cool kid. But anyway, you know what's not cool?
Kids.
Oh,
Seven Wonder Herbs.
Ugh. The Seven Wonder Herbs? Is that the story?
Yep. That's it's Kid Cool and the Quest for the Seven Wonder Herbs.
Whoa.
Is the subtitle of this game.
I looked at the cover art, but like most NES cover art, it was hilariously non-indicative of what was inside.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the cover right now. It's got some real weird proportions. Like his feet and ankles and everything look pretty twisted.
I just love the idea. Like okay, it's 1988. What do people in America like as we're localizing this? Something that obviously has like a you know, Adventure Island kind of a vibe to it. Arthur Fonzarelli. So we're gonna.
It's for people who sympathize with the bad guy and the wizard. Like if you were like, that guy's on the right, that guy's got the right idea.
I want to subscribe to his newsletter.
It's actually, I didn't realize this. I'm looking at the Wikipedia now. It's based on Kenji Sagara, who is a popular Japanese child actor.
Huh.
So we've been playing that guy's adventures without even knowing it.
Huh. Popular for portraying Kid Cool. This is a licensed game.
I had no idea. I'm just gonna put this now, say it now just because I want to. So something I want to make as a feature for this, and I just literally just thought of it this second, is that I can't find any of them for this one, but to take these games and find 9 or 10 out of 10 reviews on GameFAQs.
Oh,
but this one tops out at 6 out of 10, so we don't need to read someone saying that it's average.
Even the one fact that I saw for this once I threw up my hands last night, I played more of it today, but after I threw my hands up, yeah, I know, right? I you know what, the sacrifices that I make for these jackals. No, even the one fact, the dude who is like, okay, I'm going to sit down and write what happens in this game from beginning to end. In his beginning, at the beginning, it says, yeah, this game's not that great, but with save states, it's okay.
It was an exasperating little platformer demanding a ton of accuracy, but with save states, it is not as bad.
Yeah.
You control a kid according to the cover of the cartridge box is pretty hip.
But when you actually look at him, he's holding his, he looks like he's picking his nose.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, a little bit. The I think that sometimes people write Game Facts reviews because they want to be on Game Facts.
It's
like they just know, like, no one's done a review no one's done a fact of this, so I can get my own little bit of internet fame.
Yeah, it's going for the highest fruit, except it's the lowest.
Just a fruit that nobody wants.
Exactly.
Like go for the fruit that
reach for the shit apple. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's a shitty apple being devoured noisily by Joe Perry.
Joe Perry squatting over Kid Cool's face as he wakes up in the morning, puts on his sunglasses and goes, "Whoa."
That he talks into a tape recorder about it. That's what people did, right? But
I knew today was going to be a little crazy when I woke up with Joe Perry squatting over my face eating an apple. But I knew this wouldn't be like a normal day.
But so for as much as I use Game Facts, like, not to my shame, you know, we've always said if you can't beat it, fack it, you know, it's about the experience and there's no shame, et cetera, et cetera. For as much as I go to that well, like, I have nothing but contempt for the people who sacrifice to do that.
There's a couple of facts that I've read where I really appreciate it.
Oh, God,
there are games that I feel like warrant it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm glad some guy went through Deus Ex and found all the weird shit you can do and wrote about it. And there's a guy who wrote a history of the Resident Evil series.
Yeah, the Resident Evil dude, yeah.
Yeah, the guy's a goon, and he's kind of embarrassed about doing those now, but I don't think he should be. I like those.
Yeah. Dan Berlew, he did a bunch of Silent Hill facts, and then he went on to be hired by Brady Games, you know? There's a way out of that. But the facts that are on the level of this or some of the Parasite Eve facts that I looked at, get your grammar straight. I don't even know.
It's a low bar. There's no demand for that kind of thing. And this guy definitely doesn't. Like, who's going to be I'm going to wait for a better Kid Cool fact. this is it.
Yep.
this is Kid Cool.
It's as much as you can get. So there's something that we need to lay down as an axiom for this show.
Yes.
There may be four or five good NES platformers.
Yeah. Yes.
And the rest of them are Kid Cool.
For the most part, yeah. There's probably a few more than four or five, but not
Gary,
that.
I pick my words carefully. But it's
I feel like I could name five.
Okay.
Without thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
But the sentiment remains. Sorry to undercut your joke.
Okay, that's fine.
So that's some classic bad. I was being a bad partner there.
That's fine. But what was it that I was saying on text last night? You could take all of the bad platformers on NES and stack them up and get to the moon and back.
Yeah, absolutely. And back.
And we're going to climb that tower and come back to it over the course of the show, I imagine.
Undoubtedly. This was fine. Playing Kid Cool, it's not as bad as Revolution X, I don't think. And it was fine, but I keep thinking, man, when we have to play some other game by Vic Takei, the developer of this, or some other shitty Mario knockoff, it is going to be...
I think it's Takei.
Takei.
Yes, Vic Takei.
It is going to be way, way more of a bitch.
Yeah.
This sucked. But in a way that, it was real weirdly predictable. So, this is a platformer with really broken controls and a really dumb story. And I was playing it and I was recording it. And then the first, I played it for 10 minutes and then realized I wasn't recording and accidentally closed the emulator. So, I didn't want to start over. I just played it for another 20 minutes. But, I was making incremental progress in this game. I would realize where all the dumb little things I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just got a little bit further every time, almost like a much better game, almost like a roguelike or a Dark Souls or something like that, where I just kept dying and then coming back. But there is, I know if I really wanted to beat this game, I'd get infuriated because there's a persistent time limit across continues.
Mm-hmm.
You picked up on that, yeah?
Yeah. I thought it was weird. This is an exercise in interface minimalism because I guess you only have 3 days to rescue the king.
Yes.
Yeah. Who calls you Call for some reason?
He calls you Call. His little the guy who is his assistant in that cutscene is so annoying looking. The way that guy is drawn, and his shorts say something like T-Lal or something. He's wearing jeans, super short jean shorts that say T-Lal or something like that. Really annoying. The game does have a day and night cycle, though. Like, that's kind of neat.
I thought that was weird.
It is weird.
But to what effect?
No effect. It's just letting you know that your time is running out.
Okay.
And then the other nice, like, if I'm going to pay a compliment to this game, like, it's neat that there's so much happening in the sky.
Yes, except that the mechanism by which you get up there messes up your jumps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything having to do with jumps in this game is wrong.
It's...
like, it's just wrong. Like, I'm, like, staring at, like, I broke my brain, like, trying to think of the thing.
Hey, kid, cool, your jumps are wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong in, like, a non-Euclidean, you know, way that, like, it just, like, it's like a Mobius strip. Like, it's just wrong. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
It's so momentum-based. That, yes. Like, your inertia upon trying to take off, like, if you're trying to jump from just your basic jump from ground level to a ledge that should be, you know, jump height, like, there's no guarantee that you'll jump high enough, and there's no guarantee that because of your momentum, you will be able to move the requisite number of pixels to register as being on top of this platform.
You almost, like, certainly won't. Like, your jump has so much vertical and so little horizontal, unless you're getting a full-on running start. Uh-huh. And that's really dangerous, you know, so because if you're doing that, then you can barely stop. Like, your controls are real slip-slidey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, momentum's the key word here. There's, like, a little bit, there's a tiny little stage between, like, a crawl and your dead sprint where you have, like, proper Mario-style jump arc.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's a, you know, just like a almost straight up and down arc. Like, a standing jump, you have almost no horizontal. At all.
And like, you know that they know what the proper jump arc should be because they went in and they put invisible blocks that will fuck up your jump.
It's and like a ROM hack.
It is, exactly. That is exactly what it felt like.
Yep. Ugh. Fucking nonsense. That was infuriating. But like I said, I just kept, like, I was like, okay, this part I know the trick for this. This part I know the trick for this. I was able to get just a little bit further. I still didn't get very far. I think I got to the end of world, like, 1-3.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I got. But
with liberal use of save states, I was able to get to just before the boss of world 2.
I would have liked to have seen a boss. I didn't do any save states.
The boss was pretty cool, I thought. I have the luxury of not performing for an audience, so...
Yeah.
But the boss was pretty cool because, like, it was like Mario in that you didn't hit the thing itself. You had this thing behind him that you had to jump on, so it was like a plunger. Mm-hmm. you know, for no reason, but whenever you hit it, it went down just a little bit more, and then, like, the boss, which was like the, I guess you're killing the dad of your fuzzy little friend.
That's odd. Like, well, it's your, like, fuzzy little friend looked like a shy guy, or not a shy guy, a fry guy.
He was adorable.
He's pretty adorable.
Yeah, but the boss is a big one of him.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you just go on to the next world, which is like snow and mushrooms. It's like the weirdest Minecraft biome.
Well, it's probably just because it was just some elements from Mario, because, like, this game was such a terrible, like, shitty knockoff of the original Super Mario Brothers, but realizes none of what that game did well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatsoever. You know, like, it's so Mario inspired.
And man, I don't even know. Like, I just get depressed trying to think, because it's kind of like, couldn't they have, like, measured his acceleration across the screen, or, like, played with it and actually, like, saw, like, oh, this isn't right at all, and then just, like, gone in and tweaked it to, like, oh, that feels right. Like, did Nintendo have a patent on those jump physics, on that running, on anything?
I think it's probably, like, I would, if I had to guess, like, an honest guess, is that, like, it's harder to do than we think. And I'm not calling you out specifically mm-hmm. for that, but, like, it's probably a little bit harder than we think it is. And then they just don't, they either don't have the money to do it at that point, like, or they just don't think it's important. Like, a lot of these, you know, like, the, and then you see it now with, like, Wii games and this kind of shovelware stuff. Like, I feel like these games are kind of the equivalent of that, where, like, kids are buying games,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's make a game. And they're, like, a lot of probably, like, venture capitalists who, you know, contributed to some of this 80s real bullshit stuff.
Right.
Going through. There's really very little I can say that's cool about this that even works even remotely.
Like, It succeeds in a lot, like in one regard where like Sonic succeeds, which is like when you get going and when you get into a groove, it actually feels pretty good. Like,
but you can only get hit once though. Like, it's really easy to fight, unless you have Wiki with you.
Yeah, is that his name really, Wiki?
Yeah, Wiki.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. So the groove is incredibly hard to maintain. But like, if you get like a good jump from a long run, you can go like 3-4 screens, something like that.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. The scrolling between the screens is a real problem, specifically like the top and bottom screen. It reminded me of playing a DS, like a game with like where it uses both screens on the DS, but it's all the same field.
Get on it, DS devs. Get cool.
Yeah. Why not port this like 3DS 3D remake?
Yeah.
Cool. And no one will buy it. But they did that. They did They did the first game. They did a 3D brawler or something like that. Like nobody. It was a really terrible game.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it right now.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know either. Kid Cool.
Kid Cool. Because why not?
Vic Takei made Decap Attack. Did you ever play Decap Attack?
No, but I'm looking at that on the page. Let me see here. Magical Hat no Batobi. Tabo.
Yeah.
Taboken.
I remember Decap Attack not being that bad.
It looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, like you're a mummy throwing your head.
Oh, gosh. There was a game for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox that was similar to that. I think it was like, it wasn't Vex or something. I forget, but it had a similar premise where you were a mummy and you could like roll your head around like under doors and things.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Uh-huh. I don't see any gameplay screens on this. Was it good?
I don't remember playing it, but I don't remember very much about it. Like, so who knows? Yeah. It's better than Kid Cool. Because I played it. Like, I wouldn't have played this as a youth. Like, in that time when you play anything.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain levels of fundamental. Like, upon reflection, I can recognize what is wrong with Simon's Quest.
Mm-hmm.
But it had the basic functionality to be, like, compelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even at the time. Like, everything, you know, it's consistent. It follows its own rules. You know, I can jump. I know where I'm going to land. All that stuff. Like, it all made a sense. And even though, in retrospect, I don't think it's a great game. You know, I could still play through it. Whereas this, like, I feel like I would have put down pretty much right away. Like, on first screen when I tried to, you know, when some guy was walking towards me, I was at a standstill. I tried to jump onto him, and he could only move 1/3 of Toomba width forward.
Exactly. Or about halfway through that first stage where some dude comes in with a hang glider and drops an enemy that will surely hit you and kill you.
Yeah, like, because you can't move out of the way. Like, no. if you hit the controller when that guy is dropped, you will not move fast enough. You will not gain enough momentum to get out of the way.
So you just
have to memorize it.
I honestly don't know how I got past it, because even if you were going at full clip, it still hit you. It was like timed to like hit you no matter what.
Do you know what's weird? Kid Cool has 5 endings.
Based on how quickly you do it.
Yeah.
So it's like
how much you get promoted.
It's how sick the king is when you get him.
No, that's exactly what it is. And if you beat it in more than 3 hours, so each day in the game is 1 hour. If you beat it within more than 3 hours, the king is dead. And otherwise, you get rewards. And the best one, you get a princess and a promise to rule the kingdom.
Huh.
And a chest of gems.
Hey, not bad.
I like gems.
I like princesses.
Did you get a an herb for beating that boss?
Yes, I did. But
so we can
like,
conjecture that there's 7 levels.
And, yes. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I might be able to go through this. You know, I have the save states; it won't take too long. But then I was like, oh, that's how long it took to get one. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not interested. I didn't die or anything. Like, so you have unlimited continues. Like,
yeah.
Kind of. Thankfully, both these games. Are generous with their continues. Like, at some point we're gonna get a game where it's like one hit, one life, no continues.
Yeah.
And like every single time we die, we're just gonna have to start over, and it's just gonna become this like ridiculous Groundhog Day scenario.
Speaking of Groundhog Day, the time mechanic in this actually kind of like makes me think of something like Majora's Mask a little bit.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. Like, It doesn't punish you by making you just like go back to the beginning each time. It's just kind of like, okay, you did worse, so you'll get less, you'll get less reward. So this isn't demanding perfection. It's demanding patience, of which it demands a lot. But that that to me is cool when you look at other stuff that was happening on the NES at that time.
I agree. Like I think that's, you know, pretty neat. And that like the, again, it's really hard to get up to it, but the fact that each level kind of has the series of platforms in the sky, so there's kind of a built-in branching path system.
Yeah.
You know, which they totally, you know, fuck up. Like in Mario 3 does that, but when you get up there, it's something badass. Like you get a bunch of coins or something like that. Mm-hmm. In this one, you know, you get up there and it's just really difficult platforming and no reward.
No reward, but no real risk either, because if you fall, you just go back to ground level. There are also levels later on where you go underground, kind of like in Mario.
Yeah.
And that, like, that platforming is even harder because there is the threat of death.
Somebody designed this game thinking platforming was, like, the strength of this game. Like, someone was like, the play mechanics of this are going to be... You know, the design is going to influence the play mechanics, and the play mechanics are so good that we should have one block wide platforms on the second level. Who is doing that?
Or
thought that was a good idea?
Or this one place in the first level, in level 1-1, where there's this big, long, wide pool of water with one platform in the middle that you can't quite jump to, but if you land on it, God help you, because you can't run fast enough to get off of it.
Did you figure out how to get through that? Like where you can do the skip?
Yeah. And I think that mechanic is kind of cool. You know, that's neat. But
real trial and error.
And Errol Flynn. Yes. Kid Cool, starring Errol Flynn.
It's real trial and error though, because you can only bounce a certain number of times, and if you don't hit jump, you know the controls aren't responsive either. So if you don't hit jump well in advance of your, like, last bounce.
Yeah, like because you can only skip three times.
Yes. That little buddy you get is pretty empowering.
He is. Yeah, he's like a little furry boomerang.
Yeah. Yeah, the little fry guy boomerang. Like, he is not too bad. Like, he's really powerful. You can get him really consistently, even though he's hidden in an annoying way.
But everything.
Yeah. Those blocks. And when you use those blocks, you get that money for... is you get to do a little slot machine at the end.
Yeah, like a little roulette. Yeah.
Yeah. Also okay.
Yeah, not bad. I like that. I like the end of game the end of game mini games. I think a game that we've done that really does that well is Super Mario Land 2.
Yeah, I agree.
Man.
Totally agree.
I feel drained. I don't know. Like I was playing this like literally right before we got on here.
Yeah.
Like, so it, yeah, I'm kind of kid cooled out. Apparently, yeah, like Errol Flynn, he got around. He was a pretty prolific womanizer.
Thus the expression, in like Flynn. Flynn.
Yeah.
Yeah. In is in vaginas.
Yes. Specifically.
In like Flynn, in a vagina, like Flynn's penis is yes, what the expression should
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So what else about Errol Flynn? I'm trying to think of other things we can talk about, because I'm pretty much done with this nonsense.
Me too. Like,
yeah.
Man. I don't know. Yeah. Like it's one of those things. Obviously Mario has had a tremendous impact on like games, right? Mm-hmm. Like saying that I it sounds stupid, but I'm getting to a point. Okay. But there was a while there where we didn't have the benefit of history to like know this, like to know that, you know, it was going to be like, okay, there's a light at the end of this tunnel. And I can only imagine looking at this series of games, you know, accepting the innovators, you know, like Nintendo, like a lot of the teams there, Square, you know, places like that, just like all the awful shit that came because of the success of Mario.
Yes.
It doesn't make it so that Mario shouldn't have existed, but like, I don't even know where I was driving at for that.
Yeah. A really good way to get that kind of context is to watch Crontendo.
Yeah.
because you will see after Mario comes out, and this game included, like I saw my only experience in this game was through Crown Tundra. But you will see every company put out their own shitty Mario clone.
Yeah.
Afterwards, and Dr. Sparkle tear them apart. As much as Dr. Sparkle tears anything apart.
Right.
Like Dr. Sparkle monotonely, critique a game and make really very dry jokes.
It's a tiresome game, but with save states, it's okay.
Yeah. but Dr. Sparkle wrote the fact for it.
Oh, did
he? I would have to do a well-being check.
Somebody who wouldn't mind playing every NES game in order, I could see them having the patience to write a Kid Cool fact just because.
Yeah.
I don't know
that's
the
not,
man.
That's a Kid Cool fact. Like, the thing that justifies that kind of effort is the end result.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you put in that kind of effort, like, and the end result is a Kid Cool fact, like, that's not good enough.
Nope.
Let me see. I'm going to see if I can find – I'd really like to find a review of this where somebody defends it.
Okay, I'll talk while you're looking.
Three customer reviews on Amazon. 1 4-star review.
Oh, boy.
All right. 4-star review. Entitled, Great Game. Why is this not considered classic? This game made great use of NES hardware. It is as expansive as NES games could be. It contained opening cinematics, addictive gameplay, just enough challenge, and mostly fun.
Mostly.
Yep. Kay Barnes. Kevin Barnes is the guy from Montreal. Whereas other people said versus. So they set them up. Most favorable review is that. Most critical review is 1-star from M. Hunter. An ungodly abomination. There's only one sense. There was too much to pay for this inhuman electronic game.
See, like Amazon reviews are kind of like game facts, you know, where like, this is my time to shine.
Yes.
You know, and like there's sometimes where that like happens and it's cool. Like it takes off like that banana slicer or,
I haven't seen the banana slicer thing. Yeah.
Look it up. It's pretty cool. or more well known, the Three Wolf Moon shirt.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yes, yes. Like that can be kind of cool. But what, like, just like, what axe do you have to grind? Are you hoping to be the definitive Amazon review for this?
That's my thought. Or you're a true believer and you're just like, this is, you know, this game needs my defense.
Huh.
Like, there are probably people who think that. Like, that guy, you know, he probably believes it.
Uh-huh.
There's a movie named Kid Cool.
Okay, can we talk about this?
Never mind. There's not.
Is Kid Cool trying to get kids to smoke?
Yeah. Hey,
because there cools. was a kid who wore a nylon belt who smoked cools out behind my elementary school, and we called him Kid Cool. He was held back 5 years, and he taught all of us about the ways of love.
No. Hey kids, why does he use condom? Do you want to see me eat a plate full of sandwiches? I'm gonna get my tongue in like Flynn.
Oh god,
the tuna fish sandwich. I'm sorry.
Well, he was 18. You know, it's not a problem. He was 18. You know,
sure. So it was whatever he wanted to do was legal.
Exactly. Yeah. He was above reproach at that point. Yeah.
He sounds like a stand-up gentleman.
Oh, he was standing up most of the time. He was more, he was nonchalantly leaning against the brick wall.
Leaning gentleman. What do you think that Kid Cool, like when Kid Cool? So I was just about to make like a a dumb joke, but just realizing why on earth is this? This is a huge disconnect between the name and art of this and what actually happens. Like, there's nothing about you that seems cool in the game.
You're wearing, like a tunic. You've got, like, crazy shaggy hair.
Yeah, you're just, like, a little chubby Adventure Island man.
Yeah.
You know, it's very similar to Adventure Island, like you said. What's going on? What's cool? What's cool? What's so cool about this?
What's happening? I don't, it really just seems like you said, the bad guy from The Wizard. He's so bad.
This guy is bad.
He is bad, but
Here's another review that's not terrible from Lawrence Siminski. This was done like in November of this year. Kid Kool is simple. You run and jump your way to get to the end of a level. Along with, see, like when there's someone that's not a review. You're saying what happens in the thing. Along the way, you find a small fur ball you can throw at enemies to kill them, or you can jump on them multiple times. Sounds fun. It could be, but the problems outweigh the good. This guy gave this a high review. You can't go back left once you walk too far right. That is a problem. We didn't talk about it. Making for jumps you may get stuck on, and hidden objects are usually placed to mess up your jumps. It makes what should be a good game a frustrating experience. I argue with that, Lawrence.
No Country for Old Men is a good movie. A man with a bad haircut flips a coin. The redneck dies off screen. Old man has a dream. The end.
There will be blood. An oil tycoon reluctantly adopts a boy.
Drinks milkshake.
Drinks milkshake. Puts whiskey in milk for boy.
The end. And, okay, there's one last thing that we need to do before we wrap up this half hour. Wikipedia. Uh-huh. Yeah. Everything that has a Japanese title,
yes.
You don't need to write it out phonetically in English, write it out in Japanese kanji or kana or whatever that is, and then write it out again phonetically.
Yeah.
Kakafuku no jumpu tengoku supido jikuru. Everything.
Even though it does tell me that the literal translation is Kakafu is jump heaven, speed hell.
which is
a way cooler name for this game. Jump heaven, speed hell.
Jump heaven, speed hell.
It's like a Suda 51 game.
Please, like, make it happen.
Yeah. Get on it.
Get on it. So, Eric.
Yeah, Eric, go fuck yourself.
Your kid's cool. Your kid's fine. Congratulations.
Your kid is cute. These guys made GoGo 13 as well.
Brr?
It's so bad. Oh, these guys make Clash of Demon Head. That's actually not a bad game. Yeah. Weird. They know how to make a game.
So they have no excuse.
Yeah, Clash of Demon Head is totally not bad.
Yeah.
I wonder what that actually translates into. It's probably something really calm, like Day at the Office. Because it sounds so fucking rad, whereas this sounds so lame.
Let's see here. Let's take a look.
It doesn't show what it actually translates to.
Dengeki Bigabon.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah. Anyway, Eric, go fuck yourself. Thank you for listening.
Yes, we appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
For more abject suffering.